Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. The word Christian is commonly heard in everyday conversation. It obviously means different things to different people, because so much is included by some with the word that is excluded by others. It is fair to say that the word is misused, because positions that are opposite to one another cannot both be correct, the philosophy of humanism notwithstanding. We would contend that the term is used by many in ways that the Bible never suggests. Christian is used as a noun, a name, adjective with reference to people, attitudes, spirits, behavior, actions, churches, all sorts of doctrines and religious positions, sometimes even political groups. Generally speaking, the world is far more liberal than what the Scriptures allow with the use of the term Christian. As we investigate and learn how Scripture uses the term, we must remember we're to speak as the oracles of God, 1 Peter 4 and verse 11. We must keep in mind that the term is a designation of divine origin. In Isaiah 62 and verse 2, "And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name which the mouth of the Lord shall name." Now this prophecy notes that when the Gentiles, as well as the Jews, are included among God's people, God will designate a name for them. In Acts chapter 11 and verse 26, "And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." Antioch was the first congregation to include both Jews and Gentiles, of which we read in Scripture. This should forever silence the false contentions that the term Christian was given to the disciples of Christ in derision by their enemies or as a nickname. Rather, friend, it is a divinely given name. The word that is translated called in Acts 11 and verse 26 has reference to that which deity has done. This name was given apostolic approval by the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 4 and 16, and by the Apostle Paul in Acts 26 and verse 28. It has been universally accepted by the faithful followers of Christ from the time it was first given. We sometimes hear people say, usually in defense of religious names for which there is no divine authority, that there is nothing in a name. But you know nobody really believes that. It's just a way of excusing what is biblically inexcusable. Nobody names their children after Judas or Jezebel or even Fido. They want the correct names on their property deeds and their paychecks. Companies demand proper labels on their products. Even religious people who say there's nothing in a name take a name unto themselves to designate them as distinguished from others. The name Christian gives honor to the one we follow, Jesus Christ. It was used with reference to those who were in a saved relationship with God by and through the Son and Savior that He sent into the world. The name by which disciples of Christ are called is a worthy name, James 2 and verse 7. But the name is often applied to that which is not of Christ, according to the Bible. The name Christian is, like all names, exclusive in nature. Your personal name, your family name, is meant to include only you or your family. When your name includes you, it automatically excludes everyone else. The same is true with any name properly used and understood, and so it is with the name Christian. It is inclusive, but it is also exclusive. And we should not be surprised at this, but we should learn whom God includes and whom He excludes in using the name. Now, many object to this conclusion because they say it's being dogmatic. One's attitude on being dogmatic can be objectionable. But being dogmatic per se, friend, is not evil. There's nothing wrong in being dogmatic and as narrow as the Scripture. There is nothing bigoted or self-righteousness or judgmental in the evil sense about taking Scripture without addition or subtraction. We do not find people objecting to being narrow and dogmatic in other fields of thought and activity. Only in religion do some think it must be wrong to be right. This inconsistency is seen in following the recipes and the dialing of telephones and the filling of medicine prescriptions and other matters. It doesn't make any difference. We want those things to be right. What many have not learned is that the way of Christ is far more narrow than most realize. The term Christian is often used to include all good people. We hear people say, "He was a good Christian man." And it may be that a person is exactly that. A Christian is to be good. But people can have many good characteristics about them and not be Christians. Morality is expected of a Christian, but one can be moral without being in Christ. There are many people who are upright in many ways as far as anyone can determine. They're good neighbors, good citizens. They're helpful to those in need, they're fair, they're honest in dealing with their fellow man, even refraining from questionable behavior, using clean language, and many other good things. But being morally good does not make one a Christian. You see, we're not saved by our works of merit of which we can boast, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. We can all be thankful for any good person. We've heard some thoughtless people say that just as soon a person be a criminal as not be a Christian. Well, you can count me out of that number. I much prefer to live next door to somebody who respects morality than somebody who does not. Society is far better off when people are good than when they are not. Life is more tolerable and enjoyable among good people. But the point is, we, like Cornelius of Acts chapter 10, can be good and still be lost, because being saved demands more than simply being good, as important as that certainly is. Nicodemus, Lydia, the man from Ethiopia, they all had many good things about them, but they were lost. Because being good is expected of a Christian, many have become confused in thinking that being good is all that really matters in becoming and being a Christian. All religious people are certainly not Christians, and none would deny that. Case after case of those who became Christians, as recorded in the New Testament, were first religious people. They may well have been honest and sincere and zealous in their religious faith and practice, but they were not followers of Jesus Christ. And just because a person is a member of some church does not mean he or she is a Christian. People can belong to churches that the Lord did not establish, and then claim to be a Christian. But friend, one cannot become a Christian by following the doctrines of men and failing to obey the gospel of Christ. The Lord does not teach us just to become members of some church. He teaches us to obey the gospel, and He adds us to His church, Acts 2 and verse 47. Denominationalism has historically confused people about the importance of the church. This is an age of what is called hyphenated Christianity, which is not New Testament religion at all. People say they are Baptist Christians, Methodist Christians, Episcopalian Christians, and any number of denominational names, but they all claim to be Christians. Dear friend, be honest with the situation and be honest with the Bible. The New Testament knows nothing of this kind of so-called but misnamed Christianity. The church is not a denomination, nor the sum total of denominations. Scripture has nothing to do with denominations, except to condemn the error and division which it propagates and upon which it feeds. That system of religion is entirely a concoction of men, and it is not of God. A person is either a Christian, or he must be a faithful Christian, or he is lost. Christ is not divided, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 13. Quite obviously, people who lived in Old Testament times were not Christians because the faith of Christ had not yet come upon the earth during their lifetime. Those who lived under earlier dispensations, such as Abraham and Moses and Joshua and even John the Baptist, all ceased to walk among men before the will and the way of Christ was inaugurated on the first Pentecost following His ascension. What may come as a surprise to many is that all who have faith are not Christians. One may agree with every word in the Bible, believe it, that is, giving mental assent that it is true, but such faith standing alone saves nobody. It makes nobody a Christian. Saving faith is an obedient faith, and without works of obedience, faith is dead, and a dead faith cannot save. James 2, verse 20 and 26. One must obey for Christ to be his Savior. Hebrews 5, 9. In no way does obedience earn salvation, but in no way does faith save until one obeys, including repentance, Luke 13, 3, and the confession of Christ, Acts 8 and verse 37, and baptism into Christ, Galatians 3 and verse 27, 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. Those in New Testament times who heard the gospel, believed in Christ, obeyed these commands, were added to the Lord's church, and that church is composed of Christians. Those who have not yet rendered obedience in faith to what the gospel commands are not yet Christians according to the teaching of the New Testament. If you think so, where is the scripture that so teaches? Let us not forget that it's one thing to become a Christian and a lifelong activity to be a faithful Christian. One can obey these first principles of the gospel and thereby become a child of God, a Christian, but renounce his father and family and be disinherited. While he can still be called a Christian in the sense that he has once become a child of God, he is not a faithful child, and salvation will not be his in eternity unless he does as the Father pleads and comes home again, being restored to God's family through repentance, Acts 8:22, and confession of his sins, 1 John 1 and verse 9, and prayer to God for forgiveness, Acts 8 and verse 22. Sometimes people who are willing to accept just what the Bible teaches and will not allow more or less or criticized for thinking that they are the only Christians. I suggest this is an unfair criticism. Nobody has the right to claim to be a Christian until he or she has done what the New Testament says one must do to become a Christian. It is neither bigoted nor self-righteous to simply contend for the faith, as the Bible teaches that we must, and just as it is revealed. We would that all were Christians after the New Testament order. We work to that end. But we cannot and will not compromise with error to appease anybody or anything regarding who is or who is not a Christian. We have no right to set aside God's word to accommodate people who will not obey. We must abide by the biblical use of a biblical term, and the disciples were called Christians. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.